There we are. We're back. Ah, another slack cast over here, but you know what? If no one else is getting on it, we got to get on it. I know Ian's sick, Christo's busy, but hey, I mean, we're carrying the pod. What's up though, Dave? How you been?
Chilling, man. Chilling. I've been good. Even better based on the performance that we had against Salernitana. But I've been good, man. Just fresh off the Napoli match. We scheduled this after this match for a reason, just so we could have more of a perspective of where we stand, which anyway, we still control our destiny. It was always going to be the case. So yeah, I mean, I'm good, man. How do you feel?
For some reason, watching that game made me forget that Inter had finally broken out of whatever that was this past week. So, I mean, it feels good. I'm feeling good. I knew that it was going to come down. You're still going to have to face these two teams, like, down the stretch. I think now you can pretty much count Napoli out of it. But, I mean, you still got Milan down the stretch. But, you know, like we said, if you control your own destiny and you're a champion, that you'll get it done. And if you don't, then you're not a champion. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. It sounds like sounds like coach press conference speak right there, but I mean, it's true. It's true.
It's pretty simple. But the thing is, you said something that I don't agree with. You said that Napoli, I don't necessarily agree, because the thing is, Napoli, right now, we're just 1 point ahead of them. And as for Milan, Milan are just 3 points ahead of them. You know, anything can happen, man. We see this already. I was just looking at Milan's schedule. That's the point that I wanted to make. Of course, from an Inter perspective, we both wanted a draw. I'm sure all Inter fans wanted a draw. But if one of them had to win, I probably would have preferred that it was Napoli. You know, because Milan's schedule is a little softer than theirs. Well, let's say if we compare the three schedules right now, I have Milan's schedule. Let's say their next five matches, they have Empoli, Cagliari, Bologna, and then after that they get Torino, who's a team that, you know, hot and cold depending on the day, and then they have Genoa, you know, so that's pretty much of a that's pretty soft to me. And then they finish pretty hard. They're finishing five matches are Lazio, Fiorentina, Hellas Verona, and then they have Atalanta and Sassuolo. So their last six matches are pretty tough matches back to back. Even though it is a week after one another, you know, they still get the rest and stuff. It's still tough matches, a tough stretch of six matches for them to win. I mean, I would expect them to drop points there. Now, let's say we go to Napoli, right? Napoli's schedule. Their upcoming matches, they have Hellas Verona next, which is a team, again, it could be hot and cold, depending. Udinese, very tough defensively to break down. And then they get Atalanta, and then they get Fiorentina, and then they get Roma, and then they get Empoli, who should be an easy game for them. And then they get Sassuolo, and then they get Torino, and then Genoa. And they finish with Genoa and Spezia, which should be two easy games. So Napoli's schedule, they're the toughest. They have the toughest schedule. Yeah, it's pretty rough. And finally, let's go into ours, right? Us, we have, of course, let's not talk about Liverpool. Let's talk about the league.
Yeah.
We have Torino, which is a team that we have this fully respect. They can beat us. They can be hard to beat. You know, we want to get maximum points, so it's not going to be an easy match at all. Followed by Fiorentina, another tough match, in my opinion. And then we have Hellas Verona, hot and cold. You know, so those three matches are...
We got Juve before Verona. Juve before Verona. That was a
Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. After Fiorentina, we got Juve. So yeah, those three. Even I'll even add Verona to it because I respect Verona. Those four matches are matches that, I mean, of course, we would be okay if we go and draw with Juve, for example. But the other matches, we could easily drop points there as well. You know, but we have to be careful to be fully focused, very well prepared, so we can make sure we get maximum points, you know. And then after that, after Verona, it gets easier in the league. We get Spezia, Roma, we have to respect them. Udinese, we always find a way to beat them. And then we finish with Empoli, Cagliari, and Sampdoria. you know? So ours is not easy, but it also has its pitfalls that we can definitely mess up, you know, the teams that can definitely beat us on their day or whatnot. You know, so that's the reason why I probably would have preferred that Napoli beat Milan today, because I know for a fact, looking at that schedule, that they're going to drop points at least three of those matches. You know, whereas Milan, if they're serious, they have a pretty manageable schedule for them to manage to beat all of those teams. And the fact that they're getting Ibrahimovic back, who's been their like mental guide or whatever,
yeah,
that's a good thing for them, you know. So let's see how it turns out. I mean, we could be saying all of this and then they mess around and just draw Empoli next week. You know, they're good for it. So let's see, man.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Like, a good thing about, well, good depending on how you look at it in Serie A. Like, I mean, even the smaller teams now, except for, I guess, Salernitana, unless you're Milan, like, they can still take points off of you if you're not careful. I'd say Venezia probably not too threatening either. But any of the other guys, I mean, they can, like, and like Udinese, like seeing them on a schedule, like that does make me a little uneasy, because if Beto shows up, like they're a pretty dangerous team. Same thing with Verona. If Simeone shows up, like, I mean, they have some ifs, but those are some tough teams. But yeah, we really have to be getting, you know, this little mini run right here of Torino, Fiorentina, Juve, Verona. You gotta have at least 10 out of 12 points. You gotta have that right now. But you know, enough of looking ahead. We can't count chickens before they hatch too much.
For sure.
What did you think about the Salernitana match? Was that some sweet relief? A little bit of feeling like we're back to normal.
For sure, man. There's nothing. I mean, looking at like a fan's checklist of what you could hope goes right in the match. Everything went right for me that match, except maybe Correa. I probably would have preferred for Correa to get a goal. He failed to do that. He had two good occasions to get a goal, but he failed. But other than that, man, everything went perfect. You know, Lautaro, he was struggling, he got a hat trick. Dzeko, who was struggling as well, he managed to get two. Dumfries, we were talking about him a little bit, he got an assist. Gosens, fresh off injury, 2 minutes, he get an assist. Could have had a goal. You know, I mean, what else could we talk? Barella, we were all on his back. Masterful game, you know. We got nothing to complain about. So that match, I'll raise my hand. Personally, I was one of those guys that was saying that, hey, listen, we need to rest as many starters as we can, because that's a team that we should be able to beat on our second gear, third gear, or whatnot. But I'm very glad that Inzaghi decided to go as strong as possible. And it's like, I feel like it's going to be a confidence boost for those guys. And, I mean, we can't – I know we don't want to talk about the Liverpool match too much, but that's something that, to me, that's going to have after effects on our season. It's going to definitely affect how we approach or how we perform in the league as well, depending on how that match goes tomorrow. Not tomorrow, on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those – I mean, Liverpool, when we looked at it in the draw, we knew we were probably going to be sitting at about this point where, you know, you're down 2-0 on aggregate. Luckily, not more. But you're still sitting there and you're like, well, still got to go there. Still got to play a match during, you know, a stretch of the season where you need wins in your league. So I don't think they're going to go out with the weakest team, but I think we'll see some more rotation, kind of similar to what we saw, you know, in slight with Darmian starting over Perisic, even though that was through a little bit of injury for Perisic. But I mean, I could see Darmian maybe starting on the right, Perisic probably starting on the left, throw in Dambrosio in the back maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I wouldn't go too hard in this match.
Is that what you're expecting, though, or is that what you would do personally?
That's what I would do personally, because, like, I'm expecting, you know, I mean, I'm expecting Inzaghi, who, you know, he knows his team, he knows his 11. I expect him to throw out his 11 that he trusts, and he's going to be like, all right, like, this is what it is. I mean, Barella, of course, can't play. He's still suspended. So hopefully, you know, like, a week off after finally figuring it out, like, that'll be good. He'll be ready for Torino, but... Yeah, I hope that there's rotation, but I could definitely see there not being.
Yeah. No, personally, I feel like there's going to be our strongest available 11. There's going to be Dumfries, Perisic, it's gonna be Vidal instead of Barella, and then that's probably gonna be the only change. And he's gonna try, you know, he's gonna go for it. Now, of course, like when you think about it, the first match against Liverpool, if that one shot from Hakan goes in instead of hitting the crossbar, we're talking something completely different. So if, let's say, we get that same little period we got in the first game, we get that same little period where we dominated, we created a couple chances, and instead we managed to score, and we go into halftime up 1-0, then, listen, everybody's going to be changing thoughts, you know? So, I mean, at the end of the day, we support Inter. We don't support a mid-table team. So no matter what's going on, our guys are tired. We want to be out so we could focus on the league we're behind right now. But at the end of the day, we expect the team to give it its all and go in there really believing that they have a chance of coming back. So that's what I expect to see, and I also expect us to fall short. But hopefully it is a valiant enough effort that gives us a boost in the league. So it could be like, okay, you know what? This is the level we could be in. We played Liverpool very close. We could just pretty much go and walk this league, you know, because we need more confidence in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, stranger things have happened at Anfield in the Champions League. I mean, you think for Liverpool, the comeback against Barcelona, you think against them, Atletico Madrid, their comeback at Anfield in a couple of years ago. Like, I mean, anything can happen. We definitely would rather have, you know, the results in the league, because I also worry, like, what if we do go through in the Champions League and then you're still fighting on those three fronts? You still have another derby against Milan in the Copa, and then you have two more matches against God knows who. I mean, it could be Bayern. It could be, you know, have your pick. I mean, even Chelsea, that would be fun. But
honestly, like, I thought about that as well, and I felt like, okay, it would be cool because we got Gosens in the rotation now. We got Correa back in the rotation, and eventually I expect Caicedo to be serviceable at some point. You know, so I feel like we got some players into the rotation that even if we do have to get lucky and go through in the quarterfinals, then we'd be okay. And because it's like, what? It would probably come in, like, in April or something like that?
It would be April at some point. I know the derby with Milan is scheduled for the 20th, so it would probably be like the week before or week after. I'm not entirely sure the Champions League schedule. I'm not used to looking that deep into the Champions League and as anything but a neutral. So,
let's keep our feet on the ground, bro. Like, it's very, very unlikely. I feel like realistically, the best thing we could hope right now is like a valiant effort. Like, I'll definitely go for a match where we're up 1-0 and then we're trying to score a goal up into the last minute or whatever, or we fail to do it, or they manage to score and then it ends 1-1, something like that. Yeah. Something that, you know what, we could keep our chin up and just walk off and just go handle business in the domestic leagues. But I don't want it to be something like Inzaghi already puts a half a team in there and then they walk all over us and we're like getting memed all over the internet. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we got a pretty generous it's kind of funny to say because of how the schedule has been, you know, to us, at least in 2022, but it's a pretty decent little run that that Serie A put together for us with this Liverpool match. Of course, sandwiched in the middle of it. We play Salernitana on Friday, of course, then Liverpool on Tuesday. So you're not doing like Saturday, Tuesday, or like Saturday, Friday.
And then all the way Sunday, right?
Yeah, and then Sunday against Torino. It's a decent little bit of spacing. And yeah, I agree. If like you can get even a draw out of that, I think, you know, the guys have their heads held high. You're bringing Barella back in. Maybe Gosens could even start against Torino. Like,
yes.
I would hope to see something like that coming up. Just everything that happened in the Salernitana match is like the only reason I'm even taking into this like maybe idea, because I mean, a Lautaro hat trick, he could have had like four or five, if we're being honest. Like, he spoiled what would have been like Barella's best assist when he like danced past two guys and then struck his own plant foot.
Well, we could say he spoiled two of Barella's best assists. The one that you mentioned where he just dribbled two guys and then pretty much put it on a platter and he failed to even contact the ball. And then that ball over the top,
Lets
it bounce and then puts it on puts it on a crossbar. That was a beautiful ball. So that's a form that I'm happy to see Barella in. And you know what? It's very important after a performance like that to see what the coaches are saying. You know, and Faris was saying, like the assistant, he was saying that they pretty much went back and made it a point to play the way they were playing in the beginning of the season, play with the ball on the feet. Even if they're pressing Brozo, you do what you have to do. The rest of the team has to help. He mentioned that and all that, and that's what we saw. And he said that the last couple of matches where we were pretty much doing the long ball and stuff, it's like the team were pretty much, they were taking the easy way out. They were pretty much trying to bail each other out. When they see the game press, they just tried the long ball, whereas they're supposed to be activating each other and helping each other out. So that's a good thing. I see that, you know, even if we yap about it on the chat all the time, the coaches see it and then they fix it. So I feel pretty confident going forward, man. Like Torino, Torino just played today, right? I think they drew 0-0 or 1-1.
Let me look. I wish we had Ian right now. Ian, if you're in the chat right now, I miss you. I could use the quick fingers on the
for real.
On the stats right now, schedule. I'm typing one hand. I got coffee in my hand. I should put that down. Why is it not coming up for me?
What are we looking for?
US for you, I guess. Torino's result today. Okay, I've got it. Yeah, they drew with Bologna 0-0 today. That
0-0. Yeah.
Seems very drab. Let's see. Yeah. 13 shots, 2 on target. Doesn't look like it was very much going on in that one. I think that was one of the earlier matches today. I missed that one, but
yeah,
not missing too much. But I mean, we know that Juric is one of the best coaches in the league. He's given Inter problems before. He could always give Inter problems, so we gotta be careful with him. I mean, Bremer is gonna be there. We're linked to him, so of course he's gonna have a cracking game. But like everything just went so well in that Salernitana match. Like we've talked about Barella. You mentioned Faris saying that the team really reverted back to a lot of what was going right in the beginning of the season. And I noticed that a lot with Çalhanoğlu getting between the lines. I felt like he was getting forward more. He hadn't been doing that as much recently. And that takes the pressure off of a guy like Barella who can play his own game. And when Çalhanoğlu's doing his part, Brozovic had a decent game. I think we also did benefit. I think we mentioned it. I can't remember if we mentioned this or if I was listening to Studio Inter or something else, where Salernitana don't press. I think you did say that last week.
Yeah.
But they didn't press. So, like, a lot of time on the ball, a lot of time to get your ideas straight. I saw a lot of the triangles coming back. Like, it was all really positive.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to be fake humble. You know, I like to pat myself on the back, like, exactly what I was saying last week. This is the perfect team that we would have been playing in this situation where we were pretty much second guessing everything. We weren't sure of ourselves. They were okay with sitting back. The only thing that they did is they still played a high defensive line because they know Deco can't beat them with pace. But they were not pressing us. They were not chasing Brozovic all the way into Handanovic's goal so he can't receive the ball and stuff like that. So we saw the best example could be on both Barella assists. He get plenty of time on the ball to pick Lautaro out, and then it happened, you know. So it was a perfect match, and I'm glad it happened. And we're gonna be playing Juric. Juric is a guy that you don't know what he's gonna give you. We know he's gonna be solid defensively. Sometimes they press high, sometimes they don't. So I don't know what he's going to do, but you know that they're gonna be well prepared, man. So I don't know. I don't feel too confident, but then again, the fact that our guys are getting their form back, we should take care of business.
God, you know, and it's at Torino, this match that we're talking about, and I don't want to dash any positivity, but I can remember plenty of times in, like, peak banter era where we're still chasing top four around March. Like, it's still, like, I remember the Pioli season where he had, like, the list of all the matches left and was like, if we win all of these, we're in the Champions League. And I think that poster probably stayed up 2 weeks until we lost to Torino in Turin. And it was about mid-March. So, I mean, March in Turin is where inter seasons go to die sometimes. So,
for real.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I mean, we were saying that we're not gonna be fear mongering and stuff. So that's not bad of it, man. You know what? Let's hope that those guys go and show their ass in infield, you know, and then they ride that same horse. I mean, I'm cool. I'll take a 1-0 or whatever the same way against Torino, you know. Because one thing, the fact that they do have Bremer, they do tend to sit back and defend as well, you know. So we will get that opportunity. So hopefully they don't press us too much, or they don't press us too successfully. And then we do get the same thing. We get time on the ball to pick out passes and try to pick him out, try to break him down. In which case, I think we will, definitely.
Yeah, on the bright side, I mean, we play with two strikers. So when there is one big defender to watch out for, I mean, like Bremer, I mean, he'll probably mark Dzeko out. But that means Lautaro better be in his bag again for a couple more goals.
Yeah. I don't know who they play regularly, but that game against Juve, they were partnering Bremer with Gigi and Rodriguez, who's not even a center back. So if it's one of those guys, Lautaro better be able to wiggle his way and catch a goal.
Yeah, looking at their match today, they played, it was the same back three you just mentioned. Then they had Sinho, Ricci, Mandragora, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the left back's name. If anyone knows it, more power to you. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at it right now.
And then they play two attacking mids. So, I mean, they may be able to overload the midfield a bit. But, I mean, these guys aren't like, other than I would say maybe Pobega and Ricci, like not too worried about any of the other midfielders, Mandragora, Brekalo, like those are okay Serie A guys, but I mean they shouldn't be marking Inter out of a match. Like it's not a Sassuolo midfield or anything like that.
No, we should be okay. No, we definitely should be okay. And it's the same thing. The same point applies. You know, no disrespect to them. When you look at the team, you don't see the guy that's really going to hurt you, really. You know, Belotti, I mean, if he's going to work his ass off, but usually unless he gets lucky or something bounces his way, he doesn't bother a top defender too much. When you, like you mentioned Sassuolo, when you looked at Sassuolo, we had a bunch of talents. Like, we have Raspadori, we had Scamacca, you had Berardi, Traore. So you see where they would hurt us, and effectively, those guys are the guys that hurt us. Looking at the Torino team right now, I don't see anybody really that I could be like, yo, this guy's in form, he's going to kill us, except for probably Bremer. It's okay if he takes out Dzeko, but we should definitely find a way to figure out a way to score with the rest of the players. And we will. I think we will.
Yeah. A pretty good question. I think you'll enjoy this one. Would you start Correa and Gosens in this match? Or are you going Lautaro, Dzeko, and then what are you going to do on the left?
Are you talking about Torino?
Yes, for Torino. I think we pretty much know what's going to – the Liverpool is probably going to be strongest 11, so.
Yeah. No, I'll go strongest 11 as well, honestly, for Liverpool. So I'd go Dzeko and Lautaro. I would try to give Correa a good 30 minutes after Bremer roughs up Dzeko a bit. Hopefully he can use his pace, but yeah, definitely I'd go strongest 11. I wouldn't play around with that. Like, again, like you mentioned, it's an away match. It's a team that, you know, they're gonna be well coached. You know, they're gonna be studying. You know, they're gonna be rested. They're more rested than we are. You know, so all those things are things that should go into consideration. So we got to take the match very seriously, as if we were going to be playing Milan or Napoli in a top three match. That's the mentality I'd like to have the guys, to see the guys have. So hopefully they do have it. They don't treat it as if, oh, yeah, that's Torino. What are they? They're 11th, 12th on the table. We definitely read it, especially because of the reason today. I mean, the result today.
And looking at their form is actually, like, pretty dire right now. 3 losses and 2 draws in their last 5.
Oh,
so this might be the best
it.
Time to catch them. I mean, because
for sure.
Yeah, when a Juric team is in form, like, I mean, even if it's not the most standout names, I mean, we saw the names he made at Verona. So, I mean, if they're not doing well, I see, like, Milinkovic-Savic, their goalkeeper, not the other one, is, of course, out. Is out. Pratt is out. So, I mean, well, they were out for the match today. And if they're out, those are big misses. That's why they're starting.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So
okay, no, for sure. Like, yeah, you definitely made me feel better because I didn't even look at their form. Look at that. Like, they lost to Cagliari. They lost to Venezia. Those are two teams that are pretty much fighting for relegation, you know. And they lost to Udinese, who's also a team that's at the bottom 15. Lower than 15 on the table. So yeah, their form is not too impressive. We should definitely take care of that.
Yeah. Looking at stats and looking at everything, I am a little bit more confident now. But I just can't get enough. I mentioned Gosens. I somehow want to bring him up again. That little appearance, those 28 minutes, however many, that was the most excited I've been for 28 minutes of Inter in the past, what, like month and a half, 2 months. I was really excited, and I loved what I saw. I'm sure you agree, but I'm sure you have some other takes on it too. How did you feel about it?
No, man, you're spot on. That's exactly how I felt. And honestly, it's like, it's like after I saw it, I'm at a point where I'm like, yo, I don't even want them to play him against Liverpool. Just let him rest or whatever, so we could play him against Torino. That's how I'm feeling, because we saw like a peak of what this guy can be, not what this guy can be, of what this guy is, you know, because we've seen him against Atalanta. Well, playing for Atalanta, that's what he is, you know. So like, real quick, the ball came to him. He knew exactly where Dzeko was. Pinpoint pass to Dzeko for the first assist. Goal. Second time, he was battling. The ball fell to him. He didn't think about it. Good volley. Good save by the keeper. Okay, that could have been a goal. And then at the end of the game as well, he did one where he dribbled back. He cut it back on his right foot, actually. And then he had another shot at Sepe that blocked it again. So that's a guy that, you know, as he gets fit, and he becomes the guy that could go up and down on the regular. Like, we're going to have a weapon, man. And I don't know. We're going to have a beautiful problem, because Perisic is also in such a great form that it's like, I'm thinking to myself, well, so what happens when Gosens reaches full fitness? Like, do we just bench Perisic? I don't know. That's a beautiful problem that for Inzaghi to have. Hopefully he can work out some kind of 3-4-3 where he has Perisic as a left midfielder, and then he still has Gosens as a left wing back, you know, probably play one of the attackers, probably Lautaro in the middle or Dzeko in the middle. That way he could rest one of those guys. I mean, I'm just throwing things in the air right now, trying to find ways to have both of those guys on the pitch, because we're very blessed.
Is there a way
right
to play with two wing backs on the left? Is that possible? Can we get some kind of new tactic?
Yeah, we got to invent some kind of formation.
Wingers. Back something, I don't know. More of both of them would be amazing for this team, because they do bring like two aspects that are so different. Like Perisic, of course, you know, he can do both. I mean, he can go out wide and, you know, stretch the pitch, get those crosses in. I mean, but we know he's got two dominant feet, so I mean, he can cut in, he can, you know, get his shot, everything. But I feel like Gosens is a little bit more dynamic in that way. Like, he will get into the box more often, and he is a little stronger in the air. So I feel like that is something that he brings that, you know, this team really needs. Like, and you have two absolute tanks as wingbacks. I mean, aerially, like speed wise, if you have Gosens and then you have Dumfries on the right, because I saw like early in the match, before when it was still Darmian on the left, Dumfries broke the line, got forward. And the only other guy in with him was Darmian on the left. And I was just sitting there. I was like, man, what if that was
cool sense. Yeah. Right now? Yeah, like, no, yeah, for sure. No, and for sure, you're right. It's like those guys, you could tell they haven't really had much practice together. They don't know how to look for each other yet. You know, when it does get to a point where Dumfries knows that, okay, Gosens is going to make that run, let me just lob it up there. The odds of the opposing right back being able to jump with Gosens is really nil. You know, so, and looking at the guy on the pitch, the guy is a unit, man. Big, muscular guy. Like, nah, we definitely got a player. I'm to a point where I'm telling you where I'm like, yo, I don't even want to see this guy play against Liverpool unless it's something that we're up 1-0 and we have a palpable chance in the game. I don't want us risking him, because I want to see him fresh for Torino. And like you mentioned, possibly see him get the start. Why not?
Yeah, because after, I think after we had hit about four goals, I think about after the fourth one, I was just watching the whole team. And I was like, anytime anyone, you know, went down or pulled up or slowed down, and I was like, oh God, just don't be injured. Like, that is injured, the last thing we need right now. Like, if everyone makes it to the end of the match, we'll be good. And they did. And I was really worried, but thank God, like, no one got injured. Hopefully it stays that way. Like, we really need the whole squad, because now the depth that everyone said that Inter had at the beginning of the season is starting to look like that depth again. When you have Gosens, you have Alexis still as, you know, a super sub that he can do a job. Like, no one's gonna dispute that when he comes on in the second half. And then you have Correa back. I mean, even though he didn't score, he offered something very different. And, you know, defense is honest. I mean, when you have a guy that can run at you like that, you know, your defensive shape changes, and that opens up more space for other players. That was something we were missing a lot. So, I mean, there are a lot of interesting possibilities with this team. You could even try to go back to, like, the 3-5-1-1 again. I mean, if you really want to switch things up.
Absolutely. Exactly. I agree. And like you said, even if Torreira came in, and we all know he's been out for a while, he's still a little rusty, he's still playing himself back into shape. We saw what he brings to the table. I think he had one movement with Vidal where he just pointed, and Vidal just puts it in space for him, and he just caught up to it. Like, wow, that was so refreshing. I mean, he's failed. That's the one that he tried to put it in the far post, but he missed it.
Yeah, and it just curved away from the post. Yeah,
curved away from the post. But still, it's like you see the movement, you see what a little pace does for you. And I just hope that he manages to still continue play himself into shape, you know, because we're gonna need every single player for the long run. Even DeMarco, you know, like I need to find a way to include everybody, because every player is gonna be all hands on deck, you know, because last year, around the same time last year, we were already like pretty much walking the league, I think. So now we have to gear up for a battle. It looks like it's gonna go down the line. So y'all better like get your mental health straight, you know, get your anxiety pills ready. You know, we're gonna be along for a big roller coaster ride, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be a dogfight. But looking at the stats for Correa in that match, because I know a lot of people are gonna like not agree with us and probably not be too happy with what his showing was, and I can see why. I mean, he did something that, you know, we really need in this team. He was 2 of 2 on dribbles, but he also had 2 big chances missed. So
Yeah,
that's – but, yeah, like you said, he's still playing his way back into form. You never know. So,
yeah,
it could be the start of, like, the best run of his career. Who knows?
Yeah, you want to hit up the comments? I see them boys are really
– Yeah, they've been popping off, so I need to get to a couple of these. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I'll start at the top. Mattia, before we even got on, I saw this when I hopped in. He said, Napoli can't do anything right, can they? And I think you're absolutely correct. But when you look at who the manager is there, I mean, this is about his ceiling. So, I mean, it is what it is.
I feel bad for them a little bit, because their fans they really believe, you know. And, again – I'm not saying I feel bad for them, like they're out of it, because I personally believe they're still in it, and I wouldn't be surprised if both Inter and Milan managed to mess up this weekend, because we saw both of them are capable of it. So I don't know, but I feel bad, because they were really banking, a lot of them were putting a lot on this match, like, yeah, once we win this is what's gonna propel us to the Scudetto and all that stuff. And, you know, the fact that they lost it like that, it's like, it could be heartbreaking, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen they got done the same way we got done by Milan. Just 1 second of Giroud in the right place at the right time. And I mean, a true striker's touch. Like, you know, whatever we have to say about that guy, because he plays for Milan, it's the same reason we wanted him for multiple years when we were linked with him. Like,
for sure.
He gets himself there. It doesn't matter how slow he is, how old he is. He gets himself there. And when you're in those positions, things like that can happen.
But it sucks, though. It sucks when you can see, when you lose a goal like that. It's not like you see Milan were pretty much building up play. They playing their stuff that they practice on the training ground, and then like that worked. It's literally a guy that pretty much shithoused the shot that was going well wide, and then Giroud just happened to be wily enough to get himself back on side. That's why you got to give him credit. He got himself back on side and then just stuck a leg out to score that goal. It sucks. Those goals sting, especially when you saw that Napoli were trying to play their stuff. They're trying to play their game, And we have to mention it as well. I personally feel like they deserve the penalty. And the fact that they didn't even look at it is kind of disappointing. And I'm sure that we're going to see a lot of it on Twitter. I can't wait to get on to see who's talking about it, because people are going to bring it up. But yeah, they could feel like they were hard done by, but at the end of the day, Milan did what they had to do. They got the win. Now, I mean, they're on top. It looks like it. It looks like they're on top, but we still have the match in hand. Our destiny's still in our hands.
Yeah, yeah. Like we said at the top of the show, if you're a champion and you have, you know, if your destiny's in your own hands, you're a champion, you're gonna get to where you want to be at the end of the season. You're gonna get those 3 points of that game in hand, and you're gonna take care of business down the stretch. You know, I mean, we've seen Milan, like, even though they won this match today, they have not been in great form. I mean, draws against Salernitana and Udinese, like, if you're drawing against those guys, you can lose out to any team on any day. I mean, they lost to Spezia back in January.
Yeah, like, I mean, and they could draw to Empoli.
Yeah, yeah, that Empoli team's nothing to put your nose up at. And I mean, Empoli at San Siro, they don't get scared of San Siro. I mean, the Coppa played Inter really close. Of course, we can all think back to the end of the 2018 season, 18 or 19, the last match.
19.
Match of the season, that team.
They had Trajoe and all that stuff, and all them guys. They had Benacer. Yeah.
Yeah, that team. That us miss out on Champions League.
For sure. But the thing is with Milan, man, when you watch them, even today, like, I've been watching very closely. I watched them very closely against us and all the matches. It seems like their game plan offensively is pretty much freestyling with Theo and Leao on that left-hand side. You know, they just pretty much have them play the two-man game, overlap, try to combine with each other and see if they can make something happen. And once a team figure out to shut that down, then I feel like they become pretty regular. And I mean, they're getting Ibrahimovic back, so I don't know what kind of form he's going to be in, but that's a good help for them. But with Giroud is not a – you see the kind of goals he scored, you know? So I don't know. I'm going to be very, very, very intrigued to see how they play Empoli. But go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, to me, like, I look at Giroud and, like, I mean, the goal he scored today, he probably had to go get stitches after the match, that gash that he had in the first half. And then, yeah. I mean, he went back down. I don't know if it was the same ankle or went down on the other ankle late in the match. So, I mean, you can't, like we've seen, I mean, with Inter, you can't rely on these guys that are that old and ride them that hard for an entire season. Like, like, they have two of, like, the oldest strikers in Serie A. So, I mean, Ibrahimovic can't stay fit for what, more than two matches. Giroud looks like he's human now. Anything can happen. I mean, these guys, but could at any point just stop firing. I mean, if Leao and Teo have bad days, I mean, where's your creation at? I mean, is it coming from deep in the midfield? I mean, sometimes, but. If you have these two guys, like you said, that are freestyling, if they have off days, like, where are your goals coming from? You got to get the lucky goals like you get today. I don't want to call them lucky. I mean, they're still a good team, but, you know, you get the low XG chance goals, and you can't outperform that forever.
Actually, can you pull that up? I'm very curious for this match, like, what the XGs were for the Napoli and Milan match.
Yeah, luckily there's an account now on Twitter that has, like, all the Serie A XG.
Yeah, I follow it. I follow it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a very new account, but, I mean, like, for the longest time, you couldn't find XG for Serie A matches. So whoever runs that, I mean, probably not listening, but if you are, like, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got it right here, and I mean, it has Milan at a goal for XG. I don't know if that was the chance, but okay. Uh-huh. So, yeah, they were right there on their XG. Napoli, 0.38. I mean, that's terrible. That is
not, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's odd. Because you would have thought that watching the match that it kind of feels like Napoli created more. But I guess the chances they created were pretty much half chances. And you see, you had Osimhen pretty much taking shots from all types of angles where you know for sure he's not going to trouble the goalkeeper from there. So I guess that's probably what it is. But, hey, kudos to Milan, man. They were solid defensively. I can't really remember many times that the Napoli created clear-cut chances, you know, by going through their defenses. But other than the penalty, I think they did very well defensively.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, keeping Osimhen out of a match is a big deal for Milan. For sure. Like, that's very respectable. But let's see, what other we got comments? Benjamin asking, why only two today? Ian, as you see him in the comments right here, he didn't say it, but yeah, he's under the weather. Christo's been busy with work and life because he has a life outside of us. Go figure. But yeah, who else we got out here? Mattia saying that Napoli's out of the race. Ian agreed. But Benjamin doesn't agree. He says that he thinks it's good that Napoli lost because they have the lightest load with no Europe, no Coppa Italia. So one match a week. True. But I mean, Milan to me are basically on one match a week. Like one match against us, one extra match, like that's not going to go too far.
Yeah, and even that, it's not something that I feel like it's worth mentioning too much because tomorrow, well, in 2 days, we're going to be right back to being the same way. One match a week, except for that one match we're going to have to play in April, you know, so it's not even something we're looking into right now, you know. So I feel like we're at the point of the season where very soon it's gonna be down to every team playing one match a week, you know. So it's not really an advantage for a team or a disadvantage for any team.
Yeah, I mean at the end of it, I mean I think Napoli went out. They played two matches in Europe, so that they've played basically the same amount as us. They just happened to go out a week earlier. Milan are
before,
out.
Yeah.
We've had two more matches than Milan. Napoli have had two more matches than Milan, but in the grand scheme of things, that's not really what's going to decide it at this point. It really just is if you can grind out those results in the Serie A like you need to. I think we have Figo making another shopping list on what he wants. Mug, hoodie, Lautaro shirt. I'll get another box. Oh, we got to hit the UPS again this week.
Yeah, for the person that mentioned the Lautaro shirt, yeah, of course. I was saying that I'm going to try to make a statement with all my shirts. You know, of course, a hat trick hero. So, I mean, that's an easy pick right there. Lautaro deserves to be in the background today, and I'm happy he was able to get back on the score sheet. But I still want Raspadori instead of him.
Yeah, got to stay true to the agendas, right?
I stay true to my agendas, man, always.
Let's see what else we got. Benjamin said we want Ian. I don't know if this is an Ian burner, maybe.
I'm starting to believe it.
What else we got? Somebody said my camera's not HD. I've got a little icon in my corner right here. It says my connection's bad. I don't know why. It just kind of goes. I was very on and off. I have decent Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it goes in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's on there. but sorry. If you're listening, it was probably a little bit better. Just if you're listening, just picture me as a bunch of pixels. let's see. Fern says that Perisic is a forward, should be worth a shot. I think that's kind of what you were alluding to, using him as an extra midfielder or as a winger. I mean, we've seen him on the wing plenty. He can do it. I'm sure he wouldn't say no, because there are plenty of people who didn't think he'd even be a wingback. And here we are, like, being like, how do we get this guy in the team as a wingback when we have two great left wingbacks?
You're right.
Yeah, that's pretty much for the comments. Now, if anybody has any questions, just drop them in. I think we're a little short on time or short on talking points right now. We'll wrap it up here in a few. I know, Dave, you got to get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But I think we've pretty much...
Figo, no, Figo. I never sent Figo the shirt. Somebody's asking if I sent Figo the shirt. Figo can ask all he wants. Maybe the day that we actually win a Champions League, I'll send Figo any shirt out of my collection that he wants. Figo, you could record this. You can record this right now. Like, I pledge it. The day that we win a Champions League, I'll just pull out all my shirts and you get to get your pick and I'll ship it to you. So you could sign it, sign, sealed, delivered.
Is that just you being confident that a Serie A team is not going to win Champions League anytime soon?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, the way that I value my jerseys, I want it, if I'm going to lose one of them, I want it to be for something that's going to be worth it. So Champions League would be worth it for me.
Yeah, fair, fair. Oh, okay. I got this. I got two comments I want to get to now. Motion here, or Mosen, mm-hmm. if I pronounce that wrong. I'm sorry. My southern accent really fucks my shit up sometimes. But he asked, what do you think about Agumé? I know he had a really good performance this weekend. And he's been putting in consistently good performances for Brest. Yeah, Stade Brest. I'm gonna look up his stats recently. But I mean, the more I see, like, he keeps coming across my timeline. I keep seeing these like good performances he's putting in. I mean, he's starting to look like a little Brozovic out there. I mean, it's Ligue 1. I mean, it's a little more open league, but I mean,
yeah, that's what I was gonna mention.
You're good. Ball doesn't lie. What do you think?
I mean, I've been very impressed with what I've seen from him. Absolutely. He looks at home and somebody mentioned it as well. Like, he's one of the leaders of that team. You know, after the match in the locker room, he was the one leading the chant and stuff like that. You want to see that. We know he's the captain at the youth level, so that means that he does have the character for it. The few times that I have tuned in to watch him and Satriano, though, I do still see the couple of things that he was criticized for, like the laziness off ball. Sometimes he doesn't track back when he needs to and stuff like that. And you could tell that tactically, he's still not there, you know, like, especially if you want to compare it to Brozovic. Brozovic is a guy that pretty much plays center back for us sometimes, you know, just because it's required tactically if one of our guys went up, something like that. Agumé is not at that level yet. So that's why I was saying, like, I had a tweet pretty much asking guys what they think. If they think he should stay at Stade Brest where he is right now, he's very comfortable in the environment, which is, in my opinion, that will be very conducive to his development. Where you're comfortable, you play every match, you're one of the first names on the team sheet, that's very important. But then again, the Ligue 1 and Serie A are very, very different tactically. The stuff that he gets away with in Ligue 1, I don't think he would get away with in Serie A. So I would personally feel like if he can get a loan in a team like mid-table to lower-level team, that we know they're going to start him, they're going to play him every match, and he could learn the league, he could get used to it more or less, and work on his tactical deficiencies, I think that would be perfect. But everybody responded and told me that in Italy, that's not going to happen. And I'm sure that's probably what you're going to tell me as well, Mikey, right?
Yeah, I really like the point you had earlier where, I mean, if he's comfortable there, like, that's much more conducive to you, you know, flourishing, learning the game, getting better than it would be to try to, you know, fight with a bunch of 35-year-olds in Italy in the midfield who are probably going to start over you just because of maturity and things like that. So, and I mean, look, the guy's still only 20. So you could even give him another year or two. I think that's kind of far-fetched, a 3-year loan. I don't think you'd see anything like that. But I think another season in the same spot with the same manager in the same team would be great for him. And then keep Satriano there too. Because if this seems to be – Brest seem to be a club that will play loanees, like, they're building that rapport with Inter now, starting two of them pretty regularly. So I feel like that's more important than, you know, trying – I mean, he had a good season, decent season, I'll say, with Italiano at Spezia. I feel like he probably learned a lot of the game there, even though he wasn't starting. But, yeah, keep him at Brest another season. Let him continue to play. Then maybe try to get him alone in Serie A when he's pushing 21, 22 at that point. That's much closer to the age where managers in Italy will start to give you a shot. And, I mean, if he keeps playing like this, he's going to be an attractive, you know, loan signing for any of these lower, you know, promotion teams, lower mid-table teams that, you know, need a little bit of spark from somewhere. But I think he just needs to continue to build that profile.
No, I agree. I mean, that's a very good point. He's only 20 years old, so it's not like it's a rush to make a decision about him right now. You know, another person that tweeted that as well. I mean, I don't want to take credit for people's takes. Somebody said that we should align it with the contract we're going to give Brozovic, which is perfect. I think that's a great take. Pretty much, if we're going to give Brozo a new contract, a 3-year contract or a 4-year contract, I'll say bring Agumé into the squad 1 year before it expires, just so he could back up Brozo in that year and then just pretty much take over. It would be like a smooth transition. So yeah, that's a good idea as well. You could leave him in France, let him continue to shine, let him continue to get plaudits. His confidence is growing. He's starting to believe in himself, believe in his skills, because they're pretty much, he's on every list. Every time, every week, I see they're making lists of young players. He's always in the list. So that's something that's good for a young player's confidence. That's good for his development. So let him continue to roll it in France, and then right before Brozovic is going to be over, or his contract is going to be over, we bring him in and see what we got, or if we're going to need to buy a player to replace Brozovic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd like to see him get a season at Inter with Brozovic. I mean, of course, he had part of the season with Conte, but I would like to see, you know, a season where he's really learning the trade on the job with Brozovic, you know, getting that kind of mentorship. But that would still be, of course, like years off at this point. But yeah, it's too early to really tell. But I mean, when you've got a guy who's playing at a high level and is that young, you know, it doesn't matter where he is, that's a good sign for your club.
No, for sure. Absolutely.
And there was another one I wanted to get to. Benjamin saying, no Ian today, so no love for Handanovic. You know what? I'll throw it back to the Salernitana match for this. He had a good match. I'm not going to lie. He whatever it was, he took his meds, whatever it is for someone at that age.
He was a couple up of that. Saves he had to make, he made them.
Yeah, he made the saves he needed to make. I think I said it in the draw against Milan, or was it Milan? One of the draws recently, one of the nil-nils that I was like, well, if Handana, it was the Genoa match, I remember. But if he can, you know, start keeping clean sheets, even if it's one save, two saves, you know, that is a source of confidence. Like a goalkeeper looks at clean sheets the way that, you know, strikers look at goals. So once you start getting a few of those, you know, that gives you confidence. That confidence is a base for then your defense. Your defense gets some more confidence, and that just bleeds into the rest of the team. And then when you have both of your strikers scoring multiple goals in one match, like that is really that's a recipe to get your season back on track. And that will lead me into the title of the show today. CinemaSins can take whatever off for this, but you know, do you think this is getting back on track? Do you think, well, I mean, there are two arguments really to this. I mean, you can say you are expected to beat Salernitana, but to slap them 5-0, I mean, is still much better. Is that something you would say is conducive to getting back on track in Serie A?
No, yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think it is us getting back on track. Especially the way we beat them, you know, it's not like we went out there and we snuck 1-0. We beat them quite handily, and we beat them playing the style that we were successful playing in the beginning of the season, to a point where even the coaches had to come out and acknowledge that afterwards, you know. So definitely it's getting back on track. It's seeing the problems that the squad had in the previous matches, working on it in the practice field, and seeing the results in a match. I think that's exactly what it was. Hopefully we do get it right again against Torino, you know, like, the same way that we got it right against Salernitana, I hope we do the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I just flipped over to the YouTube tab to see how bad I do look on stream right now. I am so sorry for everyone watching. I will do better next time, I swear.
You're like Super Nintendo graphics, man.
Yeah, full Nintendo 64, full Minecraft, what have you right now. But yeah, I mean, this is something interesting. Nadine says that two Inter Primavera players, I'm not sure who they are, Valentin and Franco Carboni. I don't know if that's two brothers of the same last name, or if Valentin is, you know, someone who goes by a first name, but made the preliminary squad for Argentina in the upcoming international window. I mean, I don't know anything about either guy, but that sounds good. You know, anytime you have guys showing up at that level, I mean, we've seen enough guys get to that level. Hopefully a couple breakthrough. Hopefully those are names we hear more about in the future.
No, for sure. I'm definitely going to look it up afterwards. I like to know those kids and whoever our bright young kids are. I like to know them early so I could follow them. So, yeah, thank you for the shout. And I'm definitely going to go Google them afterwards after the episode.
Going to find some comps real quick. I think that's about it. Dave asked why I'm not in my bedroom. I mean, I live in a studio apartment, so it's pretty much all my bedroom. not by the window right now. But I'll get your nice window view back. Hopefully get some cat sightings back in the next episode. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, you got to give the people what they want, Mikey.
Yeah, yeah. They don't come for me. They come for the cat and the coffee mugs. That's it. No, but yeah, any parting wisdom you want to give us before we wrap it up?
Well, yeah, thank God we were able to get back into winning ways in the way that we did it. I hope that the rest of our fan base feel as confident as I do feel. Hopefully we go into Liverpool and give them our best shot. I'm not expecting us to be able to turn it around, but I want us to take it respectfully and hopefully get close to it. And that's something that I believe will give us will springboard us into the league where we could go and start beating teams, go on a run probably 4 or 5 matches in a row and then get comfortable in the league. So yeah, we feel good, man. It's like, I feel like we survived a bad moment where everything could be going up right now.
Yeah, we got through the whole month of February, which was a terrible month. Now March, spring's right around the corner. It's getting warmer outside. Days are getting longer. Inter getting better, and yeah, things are looking up. Hopefully we're back on here after
at least 1 minute. You just painted the best picture.
You said what?
You just painted the best picture.
Oh, what can I say? I have a way with words. No, but yeah, this was a good episode. Thanks, Dave, as always. Glad to have you on. Glad to have someone to talk this madness with. You know, great chat as always today, everyone. Really pitching in, pulling some weight because we're missing our guys. Hopefully thanks, guys. We'll have 4 windows going on next week. And yeah, thanks everyone, and we'll see you in the next one.